For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Podvincible, a podcast about Invincible. I'm feeling invincible this morning. I'm Alex.
I am feeling literally beat to a pulp. I'm Justin.
Pete. And we're going to be talking about the season 3 finale, episode 8, I Thought You'd Never Shut Up. And we're not going to shut up about this episode for the next at least a couple of minutes, probably a little longer than that. We're also not going to shut up about spoilers. We're going to jump into that right now via recap, picking up right where we left off with big Conquest versus Invincible fight.
Yeah, starts right in the fight.
That takes up most of the episode. Oliver joins. Adam Eve joins. Adam Eve almost dies. Oliver almost dies. Invincible breaks both of his hands and ultimately seemingly bashes Conquest to death with his own forehead, which I guess is stronger than Conquest's forehead.
We can discuss Vengeance for Glenn. Come on. What a...
Hashtag justice for Glenn. Good stuff.
Come on.
And then the final part of the episode, the final third, is wrapping things up, particularly the big thematic point of the season, as I believe it was Justin speculated. Invincible's pro-killing. He's pro-death penalty, so pretty cool.
I mean, let's definitely talk about that.
There's also a bunch of setups for season 4, which we know is coming, so we'll talk about those, as well as the mid-credit scene. But yeah, Justin, do you want to start with this? Because this is the big thematic roundup of the season, and certainly I would say, however you feel about it, pretty surprising for superhero media.
And a show. I mean, here's the thing, though. This show, this episode was just a violent. It was so aggressively violent.
Oh, my God.
I was watching this this morning when my wife is getting ready to go to work. She was like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, and I would pause it and be like, "Oh, God." I was like pausing on Eve's face being ripped open. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me.
And she works at a slaughterhouse, right?
Yes, exactly. She kills livestock. My wife is a huge
with
livestock.
With her bare hands.
Yeah, yes. She's like, no machines for me. No AI, please. I'll choke these chickens out myself.
She is choking the chickens, as Alex said. Geez. That's the words Alex selected.
Oh, my God. Don't think of any other animals or ways of killing them.
That's
I'm sorry.
The right the right noun and verb.
You couldn't even get out of your own way. You couldn't get out of your own way with
you
that.
Break
that
the
is a perfect
next.
Example.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the wonderful job Justin's wife does at the slaughterhouse.
That's right.
I apologize.
Thank you. All of our slaughterhouse peers are like, please, please use one of these humane things. She's like, no. She's like, I'm going to go full Conquest on this bitch. And she's talking about a cow. I don't know what her problem is.
She lifts cows over her head and just stretches them.
Oh,
she
my
just
God.
Stretches them. And she talks to them while she's doing it. It's funny.
I mean, what was the grossest part for you? For me, it was flying Mark through people. Holding him by the head and flying him through people was probably
that
the grossest.
That was interesting to me. I mean, if we're just jumping around all over the place, that was interesting to me to do like a greatest hits thing, because that was a callback to what Omni-Man did with Invincible famously in the season 1 finale, and got used, I don't know if you guys know this, as Omni-Man's fatality in Mortal Kombat 1 is the train death POV thing. Wow. So it was interesting to be like either, you know, textually in the show, oh, that's a Viltrumite's go-to move, but more as a callback of like, we're going to do that, but worse this time.
Oh, man.
I don't know how I felt about that choice, but it was gross.
Jesus H.
In season 1, it was meant as a sort of big philosophical point. And this is sort of like a little like, ha-ha, look, we're doing this thing again. So I think that's a showing on how this show has sort of progressed, or how we are much more violent as people, perhaps. I don't know.
Will say my favorite gross part is when they're in space and Conquest spits the out heart. His bloody spit and makes a tiny little heart.
Heart emoji.
And
then
cutting to Invincible's reaction, being like, huh?
That was so weird. I did not. What a whimsical psychopath. I guess the most horrifying. He's so lonely. That I was going to say is the most horrifying part for me is the speech he gives.
Really?
Like, we've just been given the bloodbath. I mean, all of the bloodbath stuff sort of equalizes at a point. I mean, obviously the Oliver moment, the Eve moment were both, you know, really gross and scary.
Punch through Eve.
Yes, no, I'm not saying that wasn't, but I think deep down I had the safety valve of like, well, I don't think these characters are going to die. So I was like, this is just a bloody opera. Wow, the Conquest speech I thought was just really chilling. I really thought it was a great addition here, and it made him just so it tried to get a little sympathy out of you. At the same time, it was just ratcheting up what a absolute maniac he is. So that was really good.
I had to pause it at certain times just because it was like so much, and there was a real roller coaster of emotion where I was like, I can't do this again. I can't watch Glenn lose again. Like, this is – if Conquest wins, I don't – so it was just a real roller coaster of, like – and then when he finally headbutted him to death, I was jumping up and down on my couch screaming for joy, like – yes, oh. Suck it, Negan. You fucking.
Wow, that's so nice.
Interesting how much The Walking Dead has affected you. Wait, did you stop watching Walking Dead after Glenn died? Was that your thing?
I wanted to, but we kept going with the podcast.
No. We read it past Glenn dying, but watching it. When did you stop watching the TV show?
I don't know. I just kind of fell out of love after a little while.
Sounds like you're jumping on your couch when totally unrelated characters with the same voices are fighting.
Yeah.
It's left its mark.
And I believe Stephen Young killed Jeffrey Dean Morgan in real life as well.
They had to get the Foley. They had to get the sound.
Real bummer. He was good on Supernatural.
He had a great run.
And my condolences to his wife. Anyway, to get back to what Justin was saying, though, and also what I was saying previously in terms of the overall thematic thing, I do think there's a weird connection there between what Conquest is saying about killing, how much he enjoys it, but how lonely it makes him, and the conclusion Mark reaches at the end of the episode, which is, you know what, I'm going to kill to protect my family, period. Even though everything that he's been shown is how destructive killing is over the course of this episode, how horrible it makes you as a person, but he ultimately comes up with this conclusion that, no, that's what I got to do going forward, which seems contradictory. And I will say, one, this is directly word for word from the comic book. Like, they do it almost exactly the same way framing wise as well. Yeah. But the one thing that's added in the show is there's a musical sting under Mark saying, I'm going to kill, that makes it feel a little ominous. So I do think there's, I don't actually know exactly which way they're going to go in the show, but I do think this decision is a logical decision from the point of the show, from the point of Mark. But I do think musically and the way they're showing us is like, there's still some morally questionable things going on here.
Well, I think the whole show, this whole season has been, like we've said, like Mark is sort of on the wrong side of a lot of it. And I feel like this continues. He's missing the flashing red ideas that the show, the season is telling him. Like all of the Invincibles he just fought and didn't kill. are wanton killers, and they're straight up villains, and he doesn't seem to see that that is like a choice that they made and they went way over the line. We have now Conquest, who's like, hey man, the thing with killing is once you start, it's very hard to stop, and I just wanted to stop, but I'm too good at it. Do you want to do it? You want to give that a shot? And he's like, yes. I'm like, dude, look at what's happening. Cecil can't let a corpse go by without turning it to his own ends. And I'm like, you want to make a corpse for him to just take and eventually be something you have to fight again? Like, it just feels to me like and it feels purposeful. I can't knock the creative of the show. Like, Mark is being sort of reestablished as the most naive character on the show, weirdly, in light of Oliver sort of being a little bit more straight up about it. Like, he at least, well, I guess we're not seeing this lesson trying to be taught to him. Mark, we're seeing him learning the wrong things from it over and over again.
I think that's a fair point, and I think that also dovetails off of how he has been in a place of absolutes over the course of the season in terms of never kill, and now his switch has flipped to always kill,
or yes, exactly.
Mostly always kill, where again, it's like, no. At least in this world, at least in the context of the show, it's evaluate each situation independently based on the circumstances and try to do the best thing you can, not just make a blanket decision based on something that's happened to you.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a kid who's like, oh, man, have you tried M&M's? I only eat them now. I only eat M&M's. He's like, okay, well, I'm probably going to try some like chicken and broccoli and stuff. Like, nope. Only, and it's like, oh no, this is a problem.
A bunch of other things going on in the episode, though. Actually, not a bunch of other things, but a bunch of other events happened in the episode. Let's talk about the Eve thing, which I thought was interesting. We get Eve dying, as we mentioned, or at least getting punched through the middle, which ties back to the Adam Eve special, where we found out she has a mental block in place, as she talks about towards the end of the episode, that does not allow her to transform organic matter until she's driven to a point of extreme stress and it pushes through the mental blocks, which is what happens here. She remakes her own body and is able to blast the skin off Conquest, which is pretty gross, but that sort of funny. Cool. Also, yeah,
she went like God mode on that. That was kind of crazy.
I did,
she
like, did also, like
went to the Avatar state is specifically what I was thinking.
She did a Sailor Moon magical girl transformation into her armor earlier in the episode.
Yes, and then great call.
Went to the Avatar state later on. Very fun. Like, just in terms of leading into the anime sense of this show sometimes, that was very fun to see here.
Well, and also I feel like it was an indicator while Mark doesn't seem to be progressing in a maturity way. Like, Adam Eve, when she shows up, and as by her own admission, she's like, I'm one of the most powerful people on the planet. I can control the atomic structure of things. And she shows up and is like, shield, armor. I'm like, girl, cut him up or something. Like, change his face into mud or whatever you can do. Do something. And like, I think there's a progression here that's happening. There's something ominous at the very end of the episode.
Well, let's talk about that. So when
you talk about the clothes melting,
No, I was talking about having sex not on a roof. That's very alarming to me.
And premarital, which we're
and
very
against. And what was weird is
they
climbed in past the roof to the bedroom. I was like, where are you guys going? No, go back out there.
Maybe they're going to do like a little foreplay in the bedroom and then take it to the roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah, take it to the roof. That's what I say. Once my wife is just scrubbed off all of the entrails of the animals she kills, I'm like, let's take it to the roof, baby.
No, leave on some of those intestines. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the costume. So she takes off Mark's costume and then folds it up again and remakes it. And then it kind of melts. I think there's two ways you could take that. One is ominous. Something has gone wrong with her powers. But I think what actually is going on here is because she's talking about her mental blocks, I don't think they're quite as in place as she thinks they are. Because you see it's made out of like plants and rocks and dirt and a couple of other things. So I think, her powers aren't quite working right. But she started to, this is just my supposition, I actually don't remember for the comics, but I think she started to be able to access those parts of her power without moments of absolute stress.
I agree with you. I also don't remember, but I think it would make more sense for her to be being powered up rather than facing a danger from her powers based on the way she powered herself up and the way she talked about the mental blocks. So that's my guess as well. And that's exciting.
Maybe The sex was so hot, it was just melting the clothes.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
Could it be in a bedroom?
Yeah, not the way.
That's just like regular level sex. You got to take it to the roof for the real hot sex. Hot tar, hot sex. That's what I always say.
Yeah. Sex on a hot tin roof. Alex's pornographic rewrite of that famous musical.
Really just have to find a replay. He mostly set it up for you in the text. What else is going on here? We get to see a little bit of Paul and Debbie. They're cool. And we also get to see on the parent beat, Eve's parents chat with Mark a little bit, or at least Eve's mom chats with Mark a little bit.
Funny that the dad's name is Adam and her name is Eve.
That's weird.
It is weird. But her name is Atom Eve.
Yes.
Maybe it's Adam Eve.
Any thoughts about any of this?
This is cool. Seems pretty like good vibes from everybody.
Yeah, parents seem great. Super nice. They've really grown over this season to really become more accepting.
I mean, the two things, I guess, mostly about Debbie, like, there's the moment where she lets Oliver go to the fight, which I was like, this
horrible
is not
idea.
Going to go well. Yeah. But I think she's like, I have to do this. And he does save Mark, I think. I think Mark would have died if Oliver hadn't shown up. So that is everybody sort of letting her sons be who they are, which was cool. And then later she's like, I should have not done any of this. And Mark's like, there's no other way this could have gone. Mom, what are you talking about?
One thing, while I'm just sort of looking through my notes here, that I think was in last episode as well, and is so weird to me, is the way that they're offhandedly introducing invincible Rihanna men, who there's no setup. It's just like, yeah, of course we're turning into Rihanna men. They're just not ready yet. They'll come later.
It's played almost like a comedy beat. Mm-hmm. You know, what's his name is like
D.A. Sinclair.
Or Sinclair, that's what it is. Sinclair is like, guess we're skipping dinner.
Dinner in the movies off the
Partner's
table.
Like, oh, yeah, I was like, oh, this is funny. But I mean, it's also weirdly doubling up on the threat that Cecil's doing. Like, because we get him, like, he's got Rihanna men, Rihanna Marks, as we might call them. And then he's like, and I've got Conquest in a really serious prison this time.
This one will really hold them.
Donald's like, bro, I know I'm not supposed to say this to you, but this is a bad idea. And he's like, don't worry, he's going to talk. I was like, what? I was like, Mark, come on, man. Again, another thing of like, Mark, be a little bit more ahead of the game.
Yeah. One other big scene that we get before we head to all of the teases is we get to see Rexplode's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of things go on there. We get a tribute to him. We get Monster Girl telling Rudy she loves him. Rudy changes his name to Rex in honor of Rex.
And let's not forget that he is a clone of Rex.
Yes.
Also, so it's that was very strange. Would you feel like if you died, would you feel weird if I took either of your names?
Well, we're all clones of each other, so I'd be cool with that.
I would be insulted if you didn't.
Yeah.
Also, if you didn't want to change your name, you know, if you changed one of your kids' names, that would be cool.
Yeah. Nice. What if Pete and I died simultaneously in some sort of, I don't know, murder, suicide or something like that? Would you take both of our names or how would you do it?
Yeah.
If I got my
wish, what would you do then?
What would you wish?
Taking you out, ending this reign of terror.
Oh my God.
I guess, would it be fair to say Lex Page? Is that enough of a tribute to both of you? Like Alex Page?
Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that.
I felt like you're going like a Lex Luthor thing with the Lex Page, but all right. I mean, I'm dead, so I guess I don't get really...
Pete Licks, do you like that better? Or does that sound like you're licking things?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, it sounds like Pete is licking things. Yeah. I guess it would also be weird if you guys died in a horrible crime event to then soundly honor it by taking both of your names. But maybe. I'll check the vibe in the room.
Yeah. Regardless, we do get this funeral, spend a lot of time there, which I guess is nice. I don't know.
It wasn't a lot of time. I mean, it was
felt like a lot of time.
It was a strange amount of time. When what's the hero that goes up to speak right after Eve sort of
runs
off?
We had a complicated relationship.
I was like, how many speeches are we getting here? Especially, I mean, on the heels of all the Guardians, like, even Mark just finished headbutting Conquest of Death, and suddenly they appear. I was like, "What the? Where were you guys? Mm-hmm. You guys weren't here 1 minute ago." And they're just like, "Oh, sorry, we were writing our Rexplode speeches. We missed the fight."
And also, maybe did I not write this down in my notes? Cecil offers the Guardians to Mark, right?
That was last episode.
That was last episode. Okay, never mind. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's talk about the teases, because or was there something else you wanted to talk about first?
Well, Justin? At the funeral, there was that nice moment, where Eve was talking about Rex and, got emotional. And then Mark was just smiling at her, and she was like, "Are you smiling?" It was kind of
adorable.
Yeah, it was an adorable moment.
I like that. Did that cement them as a good couple, or are you still hoping Amber shows up?
Don't think when she got punched through, I thought to myself, well, looks like there's room for Amber now, but, it didn't happen. Well, didn't happen.
Yikes. Who's the true
room
sociopath?
For Amber in the hole in her stomach, Pete? Isn't that what you're...
Yeah. Hashtag room for Amber. Guys, hit us up with any other spots in your life you have room for Amber. The only other thing I was going to say is the grossest thing, I guess, I thought was the number of teeth that came out of Oliver's mouth.
Oh, my God.
I was like, geez, well, how many? I was like, unnecessary. It just called into question the biology of this. Or had he not dropped his baby teeth yet? Or was he just kicking them all out?
They do that all the time on this show, and it bothers me every time. I mean, obviously we're in a fantasy world, but like, there's something logically I could accept about, okay, Mark gets punched through the midsection and somehow his intestines grow back, but him spitting out all his teeth, is he a shark? I'm not quite sure what's happening. But
plus, if you were punched, how many teeth would you conceivably lose? Like, I feel like it's just, you'd snap
just
off a couple.
Just the front ones, right? Not the back.
That's
ones.
What I was thinking, yeah.
If the fist keeps going, you know what I mean? You're knocking out more teeth.
If the fist keeps going, I feel like the teeth are the least of your worries. You got a bunch of other stuff back there towards the back of your mouth you got to watch out for.
Yeah, that little punching bag. Because that's the thing. You're trying to get to that punching bag.
Oh, the uvula you're talking about? I feel crazy saying this, but punching through someone's body is not possible. Despite this show's thing, it's not how
it seems like it's easy to do, because it happens a lot in this show.
And I don't know, I just watched The Foot Fist Way, the old Danny McBride movie, if you guys have seen that. Very good. Like, so much of that movie is just him and other people punching through boards, and I feel like that's where we've gotten to this idea that, like, oh, if you punch hard enough, you can punch through anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's accurate.
Conquest has an interesting line. He was like, just because you're angrier doesn't mean you're stronger.
Flying in the face of Hulk logic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was a real, really taking ownership of anger. But then that's what is what happens.
Yeah.
Last thing before we move on to this stuff. How did we feel about the comedy versus drama of Mark headbutting Conquest to death?
Because
when it cuts to the wide, it reminded me of like an episode of Freakazoid or something like very loud.
Oh, the episode where Freakazoid's covered in blood and can't stop headbutting people?
Just it was a goofy physical bit in the middle of like the most horrifying series of events on the show.
I mean, the main thought that I was having is just that, how is Mark's skull harder than Conquest's skull? Like, how is he able to do that?
Heavy anger, think Mark, heavy thoughts.
Heavy thoughts.
Oh, that's
heavy
the clue thought. Omni-Man was giving him in the first season when he points to his head and goes, think, Mark. He's like, use your head.
Your head. Well, if you guys have a hand injuries, you go right to head, no matter what
100%.
You're
doing. Yeah, whatever you got left, man.
If my hands hurt, I type with my head.
Yeah, I was stirring some soup, ended up using my face. Regret.
That's how you lose a good face right there.
Yeah. The whole thing doesn't make any logical sense. It also gets back to the whole thing with Angstrom Levy from last episode as well, where his head was like flat on the ground. Same thing here. Conquest, you see his head pretty much flat on the ground, and he's like, nope, coming back from that.
Sure. Yeah.
It's fine. Let's just go with it. It happens.
Big case of flat face.
Yeah. Let's talk about these teases, because there's a bunch of stuff. The second season ended with the big cliffhanger being an emotional one, with Omni-Man saying, I think I miss my wife. Season one, though, had this exact same thing, where we got a montage of things to come. Here, we see, just to run through them really quick, and then we can talk about them individually or all together, we see the Sequids are, in fact, back attached to Russ, the astronaut, who we haven't seen since mid last season, if I remember correctly, who is also voiced by Ben Schwartz. Pete?
Ah, Sonic.
Yep, there you go. So they are building up an army under there, which we had been told previously would be the end of the world if that happened. So that's not great. Battle Beast is in hibernation in space. We get to see that he has, in fact, torn the Viltrumite that he was fighting apart and gets picked up by a ship. This is potentially a mild spoiler, but he wakes up and says, "More," meaning he wants to kill more Viltrumites because he loves it. And that ship, if it aligns with the comics, is the Coalition of Planets, so he's going to get a chance to do that.
Yes, do you want to talk about these as we go?
Yeah, we can talk about this as we go. I don't need to monologue.
I thought it was interesting, the Battle Beast thing. In this scenario, Battle Beast is Conquest, the same idea. But we're like sick.
But good
he's
going to
go kill.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But good.
And like, but good. No, but good. Well, I mean, yeah. I guess if you want to consider a moral absolute in the same way that a naive character like Mark is doing that, you could consider it the same way.
I am wearing the hat. Think.
Yes.
Think, Mark.
Yeah, careful. Yeah, use your head to smash stuff. So, I don't know. That just was a funny juxtaposition where it was like, look how we really showed how bad this person is. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, hey, but this cool guy with cool hair is going to be good, right?
He looked all adorable, kind of like, you know, just a little ball out there, you know, waiting in space for someone to find him.
Nothing cuter than a ball.
Yeah.
Getting back to the Sequids, if we're going about one by one, yeah. I have a hard time taking this seriously, you know, like...
What?
The Earth has been through so many things at this point, and I know they were a real threat when they were in space, but it kind of feels like the sort of thing they'd take care of in the cold open of an episode. You know what I mean? Mm.
But, well, I don't know. I mean, I think it could be played that way. I do think it's a little exhausting, the amount of destruction. I feel like this season has been like... Do you like seeing shit get wrecked? And we've seen so much of it. So I am curious if they're going to pivot off of that. I'm ready. Larger comment. This episode I thought was really beautifully choreographed. The jumping between super wide, like Mark just like getting thrown through and off buildings. And then the close-up fight when it was sort of the middle of the fight. There's like when Mark is – there's exchanging punches. I thought it was really cool. Really like – brought you in and out of the
also
the heat of it.
The shot of like Eve being on the ground and them fighting in the sky above her was also really cool too.
And you incorporate different styles, like Alex was saying, anime. Like I think we got a lot of different things in here, which was cool.
I mean, maybe this is what you're getting towards, Justin, and not to put words into your mouth, and then we'll go back to the teases in a second. But I feel like they need to find a balance in the next season between...
Yes.
Two episodes of nonstop destruction of the world versus the previous episodes, which were good, but a lot more focused on just drama and people talking and being people. And I want to see that in every episode. Like, I want to see drama balanced with superhero heroics and violence and everything rather than it all kind of get pushed towards an event at the end.
To name the spectrum, it's like Paul and Debbie date. Versus Conquest tears out Eve's intestines. I want to operate somewhere in the middle of that spectrum. To the Sequids, I do think I like that storyline, but I want to see that shown to us in a way that isn't just like, okay, let's go. I want to like have it be, maybe it is more of a Body Snatchers thing and we get to like see a little bit more of a horror tinge to it rather than just the straight up.
Yeah. Rather than like a, here we go again, here's another terrible thing happening to Earth. Oh boy. It needs to tie in a little closer to the characters. So
I thought it was interesting the way it kind of tied in with this philosophy of like Mark killing, because it was like, it showed all these like extra, and I was like, well, if Mark would have killed that guy, we wouldn't still be dealing with this problem.
That's
and
interesting.
So
interesting.
It was kind of like a,
yeah,
like he's got to start killing because all these things are coming back to haunt him.
Well, and pivoting off that, like the Sequids are an even trickier case because the humans are technically innocent who the Sequids have taken over. So that's killing a true innocent rather than just another villain.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the next one that comes up. We cut back to the technicians and Angstrom Levy. They've given him a new arm. And there's a bit of mystery here, but they say, you know, you've seen what we've done to our world. And he's like, okay, you want a new world? I'll give that to you. You open a portal. And then they say, that is only the beginning of the delights we will achieve together, which is a clear reference. I know we talked about this last episode, but the voice actor is Pinhead from the Hellraiser series. And they're always saying things about delights and the sights we will show you and things like that. So I thought that was very fun.
But it was weird because the last time we saw them, they were at odds. It was like, yo, fuck you. You abused us. We're out. And then it's like, oh, hey, we fixed your arm. Why don't we work together now, right? Because we're together. And I was just like, make up your minds,
well,
bro.
No, no. They said that Angstrom was going to work for them now the last time.
But now they're like, we're equals. And I was like, no, dude, you had the upper hand. Like, torture the shit out of this guy. Make him work for you a little bit.
Well, I'm curious about how they're going to spin this, because I think Angstrom Levy's been the reveal for a while now, and I think let's have a break from him or do something a little bit different for him.
Yeah, we'll see. We mentioned the conquest thing, which seems very dumb on Cecil's part. And then the last reveal is the mid-credit scene, which maybe deserves a bit of explanation here. Because Damian Darkblood hasn't been seen since midway through season one, when Cecil sent him back to hell. And that's where we pick up here with Damian Darkblood, voiced by Clancy Brown.
Yeah, come on.
Him. He opens a seal, summons a demon lord. The demon lord is voiced by none other than Bruce Campbell himself. And he's told they have a way to restore him to his infernal throne. He's discovered somebody with the blackest heart and the most power he's ever discovered, and they have a means of conjuring him here. So clearly we're going to get Invincible Goes to Hell, his final Friday next season. But the further explanation here, which I thought was really interesting, is Damian Darkblood in the comics barely appears.
This is not a comic story, right?
This is not a comic storyline at all. This is actually something that Robert Kirkman has talked about, I think, a couple of times, but there was an episode of the Cartoonist KFAB podcast where he talked about this. He wrote in Damian Darkblood because he wanted to do a thing where they go to hell in the comic book, and he never got to it. And instead, they kind of killed off Damian Darkblood as a joke. Here, Damian Darkblood didn't die. He was sucked down to hell. So you're going to get a chance to do the storyline that he never got to do in the book, which is pretty fun.
That's really cool. That's nice. I like the deviation from the source material, especially since we've been using the source material so faithfully lately. I'm curious, though, like, Damian Darkblood was sort of a hero, wasn't he, in this TV series?
This is my question. He doesn't say invincible here. Our assumption is he means invincible, but I think he either I think he either means Omni-Man or perhaps even Cecil, potentially.
I thought he meant Oliver.
Mm.
Interesting. I thought he meant Conquest.
Oh. Ooh.
Huh. So, like, what a lot of ideas we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's purposefully left open. But it's like Invincible doesn't have a black heart. So that's why I feel like Omni-Man isn't on
that's
the planet.
That's why I thought Oliver, because Oliver has a darker side. He's like, murder.
Damian was sent to hell in the first season, and he was investigating Omni-Man. So I do feel like, based on what he's saying, the most straightforward thing is Omni-Man, because he knows he killed off the Guardians of the Globe.
Like, picking up directly off of that, like, as if he just got to hell, basically.
But since Omni-Man is off-planet, I sort of feel like it's kind of more fun for it to be Cecil, and for Cecil being a regular human brought to hell and Invincible needs to save him somehow. That to me is a little cooler. Alternately, if it is Omni-Man and they summon him from space to hell, and that's how we bring Mark and Oliver and Nolan back together, that's pretty neat as well.
Speaking of that idea a little bit, I was pretty disappointed just because, you know, we got all these after credits things about, you know, Omni-Man and Alan, and we needed them here for this fight. And even Conquest brought him up. He's like, oh, your dad's dead. And I thought maybe we were going to get an after credits or at least him showing up or something. But I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get anything.
I mean,
saving him.
I agree with you, but about the whole season, that I think the show really needs Omni-Man in it and needs that relationship. I know I've said this several times, but like, I think adding Oliver in there, the main crux of the show is Omni-Man and Mark, with Oliver as a corollary there. And we need that to like keep everything emotionally focused, because it's just, whenever they're together, the emotional stakes, everything gets upped exponentially. So to have him just in a tiny little bit in the season, I think brings it down a little bit for me.
Plus, he was like, I miss my wife. And I was like, well, all right, bro, let's do something about it.
Unless he met his bug wife, in which case she dead.
Yeah. I miss my bug wife. The thing is, like, I guess I understand what you're saying, but like, we needed this season with him away so we can set up the return. And I think this season was about Mark and Eve, Mark and Oliver. Mark is much more in the Nolan role with Oliver. And I think that actually helps set up when Nolan comes back. It puts Invincible in between Oliver and Nolan in a good way. So, like, I think we're just setting up some good stuff for the eventual Viltrumite threat slash war that we're going to get.
But in this epic fight, like, the fact that, like, they were talking about him, and I was worried that Mark was going to lose, and I was like, man, he could really use Omni-Man right here, right about now.
Well, let's talk about the season overall. I know we've been touching on that, but how do you feel that it ranked up with the first two seasons? Where do you think it kind of stands?
I think the second season was, maybe I prefer that. Mm-hmm. This one felt a little bit like, I liked a lot of the ideas. We got these like melodramatic stories focusing on villains. I guess it just felt like we knew what the point of it was the whole time, and it put us ahead of Mark in a way that we sort of still are at the end of the season. And so that's a little hard. But from a animation standpoint, I thought this season was great, like really well-made shows. It's just the story felt a little, I don't know, it's not that it was not enough going on. It just felt a little, like the narrative spine was a little wobbly at points. Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a great season. I would say the first is the best. But, yeah, I had fun during this season. And it was worth it alone for the Glenn Vengeance. I mean, that's been a
Glengeance.
Long time.
Glengeance.
Yeah, so it was great. It was great to finally have that after all these years.
Yeah, I think this had some great moments throughout the season. But I agree on the wobbliness. I think, like I've been, you know, harping on, it just needed more of an arc, a stronger focus. It felt often like the Invincible news, like here are things happening. You know, to right. get back to the beginning and get back to a conversation we had in the first couple of episodes, we started with Cecil versus Mark and kind of got away from that in a way. Like it became, it sort of transitioned more into should Mark kill or not, with Cecil as a subset of that. And I like it better when there was the focus, when season one has Omni-Man versus Mark and their philosophies. Season two has Angstrom versus Mark and their philosophies. This was stuff happening, and a lot of the stuff was really good and very enjoyable. But I want to get back to that, like, okay, what are we doing over the course of these eight episodes? What story are you telling here? What chapter are we telling in the life of Mark Grayson?
I mean, as a roofer, this was the best season. You know?
100%.
Yeah. A roofer.
No debate there.
Yeah.
And when you say a roofer, what are you referring to exactly?
The person who works on roofs.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
What do you mean that you're a roofer?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying roofers everywhere love this season.
Roofers rejoice.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. I thought roofer was, I thought you were onto the sort of my OnlyFans searches. But I guess not. My bad. I shouldn't have said anything.
You kind of outed yourself there a little bit.
Yeah. Well, why don't we out our Invincible moment maybe of the season? I don't know. What was your Invincible moment of the season? Could include this episode. Pete?
Yeah, I got to go with the headbutting till dead or you thought was dead. And I was happy when he woke up and was like, I want to see the body, because he's like, yo, man, I'm sick of these people not really being dead. So,
wait, but he doesn't. He's like, burn. Hey, guy, I swore to never trust again.
Yeah,
but
he burned it.
Yeah, well, I would have taken my hands and said, you know what? I'm going to take this one. I'm gonna field this one. I'm gonna Luke at the end of Jedi this shit and take this body to my own personal pyre.
I would have loved to seen him do that. That would have been great.
He should have.
As soon as he saw him, I was hoping he'd had it, but I'm going to do it one more time just to make sure. You know what I mean? Just
that feels gratuitous, Pete.
I don't know.
No, they always come back for one last scare, so you got to headbutt them one more time.
Yeah, you got to double tap. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess my favorite moment was the fifth headbutt before he was dead. Anybody? Oh, is that the one you picked, Pete? I guess I'll pick something else. Yeah. For this episode, I think it is the speech from Conquest, which I thought showed the that paired with the Invincible War showed like the logical worst case scenario for Mark if he follows this path to its most extreme end. I don't think he's going to do that, but he's definitely hardening himself for a war. He's had basically a war come to his shores, and I think what we're going to get next season is the Viltrumite War. Feels like if we don't get it next season, we've waited too long. So this season has been about hardening Mark, and that feels like the transition point was that speech.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just in terms of like maybe favorite fight of the season, I think the Angstrom versus Mark fight was so good last episode. Just like you were saying earlier, Justin, just really well choreographed, well done. And when we were talking about that one, just amping it up from the season two fight in a really interesting and cool to see way. So that was pretty great. And yeah, I mean, him saying, "I'll kill anybody who threatens my family," or whatever the exact line was, I think that's the thing that is going to challenge him once again next season, rather than be like, "We're cool with killing, let's move forward," the end.
Yeah, agree with that. And I also think finally shutting down Amber, I thought was really good.
She died
off screen, I believe, right?
Yeah.
What was weird is they kind of brought up the fact that Darkwing is still missing, and I was hoping to get a little closure on that.
That was weird. That was in the previous season, and then just never touched again.
Didn't even touch it. I was like, oh, we brought it up in the previous season. We're definitely going to cash in on this bit.
I wonder if they haven't made a decision, because in the book, he pretty definitively dies in the Dark Dimension, but I feel like...
Maybe he's the darkest heart that he was talking about.
It could be. I think probably what they're doing is probably trying to decide, hey, do we bring him back? Do we change things a little bit? There's no particular reason to kill him or leave him in there. Rather, maybe they had a scene in the episode that they cut out to leave it ambiguous. So
they were like, no, let's go longer on the funeral.
Well, and it may also be that the Invincible... from another dimension that was in there may also not be dead. So that could be something they want to pay off.
Yeah. We shall see when season 4 premieres, whenever that is. And we'll certainly be back here on this podcast. In the meantime, if you'd like to support this show and all the shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Sure. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Invincible, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay invincible.
Ooh. Gotta go pick up my wife from the old chicken choking job. See you guys later.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.